All right, folks, welcome back to another, yes, if you're listening to this, I don't know what order, but another Mountain West Wire podcast, basketball edition. It's been a busy Sunday with a lot of stuff going down. Jeremy Moss, Eli Boettger. We going to make it for podcast, what, number three today, I think it is?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is the stretch run. I am basically running on 0 hours of sleep from here until Selection Sunday. So if I'm not on my A game right now, then I don't know if I ever will be.
Dude, we got to tighten that up. But yes, we are. Championship week is here. Mount West finished up on Saturday night with a couple surprises, a little bit. Seeding was very much in the mix. Before we get to that, who are we? MWR.com. We've had a lot of new website visitors, so that's where we scribe our stuff. iTunes, Stitcher, great stuff for podcasts as well. Facebook, Mount West Wire, MWC Wire on Twitter. And we'll have some plans for championship week. Maybe we'll do some more videos, live stuff, just to get everybody involved. But that's us. And this show, since we already talked for at length about Gonzaga to the Mountain West or BYU to the Mountain West in basketball, because that's a thing, this is not a 2010 podcast repeat. This is 2018, just to make sure people are aware that they stumble across some feed mishap at this one today. But that's what our other shows are about. So you got a lot of stuff in our feed, so hopefully you pick and choose what you want and listen to all of it, because that's what you're supposed to do if you log into our show. But here we go. So season ended on Saturday night. What was, let's start you, Eli, because CeeDee was on the line. What was the most important game that happened Saturday?
There were a number of games with important implications. I think San Diego State, Nevada was fairly important, at least for Wyoming seeding, because we had seeds, I think it was, we'll backtrack for a second. So New Mexico and Fresno State were playing for the three seed. Whoever won that game would be the three seed. And then there were a few more requirements for Wyoming to possibly move up to a four. I don't know that off the top of my head. And then San Diego State and Nevada were also playing in the nightcap, which San Diego State won. So with the order that we have, at least from the top five, we have Nevada at the top, which is already locked in, as well as Boise State at number two. And then New Mexico defeated Fresno State in a really dramatic overtime game. That was one of my favorite games of the year for sure. New Mexico locked up the number three seed. Fresno State's at four, and then San Diego State, with their win, they're probably the hottest team in the Mountain West right now. They've locked up the five seed. So that's what the bracket's looking like right now, and I think it's going to be an interesting week because we have a lot of intriguing matchups and teams that are hot, teams that are cold, and I guess we'll see what happens in Vegas.
Exactly. There's a ton going on because, like you mentioned, like looking at just at San Diego State really quick, they've won, what, one, two, three, four, five, six in a row. They beat Nevada. They beat Boise State, both at home, mind you. But they've been playing probably the best. And they got Fresno State in tournament. But their team, New Mexico, they have won multiple games right at the end of the season outside of they won yesterday. They won, five in a row. Did lose to Air Force, which is weird. Lost to Boise before that by two. They've been playing, they have beaten San Diego State. They've been doing very well. But then again, you beat Utah State at home, whatever. Going on the road to Wyoming is pretty big. At CSU, it's not a big deal. So their win streak's different than San Diego State, but there's a lot of teams that are playing well. Like Nevada, even though they lost, they're playing quite well. Wyoming can, with Justin James, can just beat anybody with him and Hayden Dalton, what they could score. And even with Fresno without Deshaun Taylor, they're a threat to do something. And even Kobe McEwen and Brandon McCoy's tournament, we're going to be there. It's going to be freaking amazing. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, Jeff Grammer tweeted something. I think it was last night, maybe it was today, I don't know, the days are starting to blend together, but San Diego State enters the tournament with a six-game winning streak. New Mexico enters with a five-game winning streak, and then no other team has a multi-game winning streak. So that already opens the door. And then the fact that New Mexico has an interesting matchup with Wyoming, two teams that have gone back and forth and combined to score, I want to say, 233 points the last time they played.
Oh, that's right,
That could be a potential quarterfinal matchup on Thursday night. So
that'll burn the clock, man. That will test the clock. That'll burn CBS TV's clock.
Oh man, yeah, it's 8:30 tip off at the Thomas and Mack. That one's going to be pretty wild, and that's if the game even tips off at 8:30. It could be later than that, but that is the potential matchup that I'm looking at, because either those two teams, when they're on, they can beat anyone in the league, and I like their chances against potentially Boise State in the semifinals. So two teams that can shoot threes, that run fast pace, I think that is a pretty solid formula to winning multiple games in this tournament this year.
So, yeah, looking at here's the bracket. Let's kind of go over that really quick. Here's what the game time is. And we'll have plenty of coverage up for all week, but here's the basics. Wednesday night games are on, let's go to Stadium Watch on Facebook. I think that's what it's officially called, or Watch Stadium something. UNLV Air Force, whatever, it's noon local time. Are you really quick, you're going to be there as I am. You're there Thursday, or are you there Wednesday at all?
I'm on there Thursday, yeah.
Okay, so we'll have no live coverage Wednesday, which is fine. Even though I really probably want, well, no, it's fine. There's none of those games. Sorry, Rebels, Falcons, Aggies, Rams, Cowboys, Spartans fans. Those first round games, whatever. I can care less. Is that too harsh?
Maybe for Wyoming. I'm still.
No, but
I'm,
I mean, you're playing San Jose State. That's my point.
Yeah, I know. It's a Facebook game, and it's an early tip off on Wednesday, so not a ton of intrigue. But
day two, you'll be there for day two. I'll be there Friday morning. So. Here's what we got. So it's really quick matchups. I should go over that officially. Sorry, folks. But UNLV Air Force, 11 Pacific, Utah State CSU, 1:30 Pacific approximately, and then 4 p.m. Pacific, Wyoming San Jose State. I will predict UNLV wins, Utah State wins, and Wyoming wins, taking all the favorites.
Yeah, usually most years, I know I picked one last year. I don't remember who it was, but most years there is at least one of those three lower-seeded teams that seems like an intriguing upset, but I just don't see it this year. I think UNLV should be able to handle Air Force on a home court. Utah State's stronger than Colorado State. That if there's any matchup that I'm going to choose a lower-seeded team, it's probably that one. And then Wyoming should have absolutely no trouble at all with San Jose State. So I like all three of those teams as well.
All right, so as we go to Thursday's games, here's where it gets fun, right? Thursday.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun.
Nevada, UNLV, noon Pacific. These are all CBS Sports Network's games. Or check our website. We have a potential deal for if you sign up for FUBU TV. So look into that, folks, because help us out, right?
Yeah, drop a little promotion in there. That always sounds good.
Exactly. I'll drop the link in there again. But yeah, if you want CBS Sports Network, they have like a 7-day trial. So give them a try. It's you can stream it wherever you want. If you can't be in Vegas or you're at work or something, but also if you have DirecTV, you can get apparently CBS Sports Network streaming now. So good job for getting one more provider. But the game. How crazy will it be? I wish I could be there. Nevada UNLV quarterfinal game.
Yeah, I did not think that this would end up being a 1-8 game. UNLV has just been so up and down. The last couple of weeks have been even worse than how they open up conference play. They're just struggling to defend. They can't hit shots from the perimeter. What once was looking like a really fun matchup between the two Nevada teams in the Mountain West tournament, I just don't think that UNLV stands much of a chance against Nevada this time around.
So we're safe to say UNLV is not a top 15 team nationally, right?
I figured this was coming at some point. Yeah,
they were not even top half conference. They finished slightly below our expectations. I guess we give credit to Athlon to put them 11, sort of.
Did Athlon really put them 11?
Wasn't Athlon? Somebody put them at the bottom because of it's their maybe
the year before they did.
I forget who it was. Oh, maybe that was it. No, that was New Mexico this year. Never mind. I was thinking because their big formula deal was like returning talent and stuff, I think. And UNLV didn't have it because you lose a coach and people leave. New Mexico, I should say. But that'll be fun because it's at home. It's going to be weird because it's usually UNLV gets set up. Maybe they change it because it's, I guess it's not technically their home court. Like some conferences, it's home court. So they don't get the benefit of a better playing time later in the day or anything particular. So you're seated there. That's where this game played, which is good. So it's local, noon local time. People may not be rowdy or drunk at the moment. It's a work day or something, but that'll be a packed house. I think that'll be a sell, even though it's in noon lunchtime, 12 o'clock, not early morning, late afternoon. That'll be crazy. I think Nevada will be fine, but if Brandon McCoy gets going, tournament's a different scenario. They're at home, which people are like, well, they don't have a huge advantage. It's a big enough advantage being at home that I don't see an upset happening, but I wouldn't be shocked if that game is closer than most people think.
I mean, they need to tighten it up, though, because we're just a few days removed from Nevada's 26-point blowout of UNLV. I mean, that game wasn't even competitive. I think Nevada led by 33 at one point. So something needs to change. I mean, you can't change the team overnight in terms of what you do, but Nevada shoots the ball just so well from the perimeter, and UNLV has completely abandoned their three-point game, and they've just struggled to defend. Nevada could get everything that they want when they played this last time. So I wouldn't be shocked, honestly. I know that we have our hopes up that the fans deliver for that first game, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's a little quiet at Thomas and Mack on a noon tip-off on a work day, because I don't think UNLV fans are that invested at this point. There was so much hype in November and December when they were looking good. They started off conference play pretty poorly, picked it up. They're looking really good when they had that overtime finish against Boise and then won three straight games after that.
Yeah.
And they've just completely collapsed since. So I just don't think they're – is as much intrigue as we were once hoping for that Nevada-UNLV matchup.
Yeah, they have – there's potential there. It's probably not going to happen. But I think the crowd – maybe you're right. Maybe not sell out rocking, but I think it'll be good enough. Like, it'll be pretty well attended because it's UNLV hoops. People love it. Had it been the 6 o'clock game or 8:30 p.m. tip-off game, definitely a different story.
Yeah, 6 o'clock would have been perfect, I think.
Yeah, whatever that set – the second set of quarterfinals. But – Really quick. I'm over at teamrankings.com. That's a good website to use. They have a lot of free stuff out there. You don't have to pay for everything. But UNLV, let's play a game here, Eli. It's not BPI. Thank goodness. Okay. On your end.
This one's just as hard, though.
What's their percentage to make it to the semifinal, do you think? Which means winning both games.
So beating Air Force and Nevada?
Yeah. What do you think the percentage they're giving that they'll be in a semifinal game?
Well, the percentage I would give them of doing that is incredibly slim. I don't know, maybe about 8%.
No, not even close.
According to team rankings, what, like 30%?
Yeah, 30%. Yeah.
What? No, come on.
They're given an 88% chance to get past Air Force. They're given a 8.8% chance to win the whole thing, which is fourth best.
I mean, it's the benefit of playing on your home court, but UNLV hasn't even been that great in Las Vegas this year.
I could see them being higher than like their 8 seeding because they are at home, but you play the number one team game too. Had they been matched up against Boise, who they played close against, I would probably be fine with that 30%, maybe even higher, because they played Boise pretty tough.
Yeah, I would feel much better about that matchup as well.
But it's just crazy. We'll get to the rest of these rankings later. We'll do some articles on it. We've got Ken Pom. Do you have Ken Pom's ranking up? Is that a free thing on their side? I know Ken Pom, where I put on Twitter, is the rankings or percentage stuff available for everybody on the website?
Yeah, let me pull that up one sec because Ken Pom's been putting out all the – or Ken Palmer has been putting out all the Mountain West win percentage breakdowns. And for the Mountain West, UNLV has an 85% chance of advancing the quarters, 23.5% chance of advancing the semis, 10.4% chance of advancing to the final, and 5.2% chance of winning the whole thing. So I would be more inclined to favor Ken Palm's numbers here, just because I think that UNLV has, I don't want to say given up on the season, but it's just turning in completely wrong direction.
We'll see. All right. It'll be, check his Twitter page. He posts all that stuff there, so that's fine to do. It's where you should go check everything out. So let's move on through the bracket really quick. This will be a shorter one just because we've talked a lot and we'll have more stuff throughout the week. But like these teams played so many times. You got Fresno, San Diego State. I should pull up BPI for that real quick. But that's a matchup of Saturday night.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. You don't think so?
That's not a matchup Saturday night, is it? Fresno State? Wait, what teams did I say?
Fresno or from Fresno?
Oh, no, sorry. For some reason, I thought Fresno played. Never mind. I got the matchup mixed up. They played. When did they last play? Did they play 2 games ago?
Fresno and San Diego?
Never mind. They played like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I was on February 6th.
Sorry. A month changes a lot of things between those two. I apologize. I don't know what I was looking up here. I just remember that. Oh, they were battling for the seeding. That's what it was, or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So here is what I wanted to get at. I apologize. That was not the point I wanted to make because it sounded terrible. Fresno, San Diego State, they played differently about a month ago. Aztecs playing hotter, like we mentioned. Last time Deshaun Taylor played, he's not playing. What is your thought on that? Because he's been out a couple games. How big of a difference is this team without him? Because he made first team All Mountain West as well today.
Yeah, so it's Jerron Hopkins that's out for Fresno State.
Oh, geez, what?
But
I give up. I'm done. I'll see you later.
Continue. But, yeah, so... I guess one thing going back to Deshaun Taylor is he suffered from cramping up against Mexico on Saturday, but that seems to just be precautionary. He'll be fine. But without Jerron Hopkins, who's probably one of the better overall players in the Mountain West Conference. He does it on both ends, both in scoring and on the defensive end. I think that Fresno State, their chances of being the dark horse in the Mountain West tournament just significantly weakens because without him, I think the backcourt, or at least the wings, the depth just isn't nearly as significant as it was when Hopkins was on the team. So San Diego State's trending in the right direction. Fresno State, maybe not so much. And they haven't played terrible without Hopkins. They competed really well with New Mexico and Albuquerque on Saturday, a game that went to overtime. But it's a weird game because Fresno State, for the most part, has owned San Diego State these last few years. Rodney Terry's just done an excellent job beating the Aztecs. They swept San Diego State again this year. But the way San Diego State has been playing, ever since Trey Kell returned from his injury, San Diego State has looked like the team that we thought they could be heading into the year. They're playing better defensively. They're taking better shots, and Jalen McDaniels has been good, and along with Malik Pope down low. Trey Kell and Jeremy Hemsley are finding better looks offensively. So San Diego State has a real chance of making this interesting. They already have that win over Nevada, and those two could potentially meet in the semifinals, which would create quite the showdown, I would think. So that's a good second-round matchup in the Mountain West tournament because you have teams turning in the different directions, although heading into this game, you just don't really know what to expect.
All right, so BPI and team rankings are about the same percentage. Who's favored in this game, Eli?
I think San Diego State's about a 64% favorite.
Close, 57%.
Okay, all right. It's not bad.
They've been playing well, injured for the Fresno State player down who, whatever I got wrong, I'm sorry, folks. I get players mixed up. It's basketball. Leave me alone. But they'll be like, the way Aztecs have been playing, like they, like, do you give them a legit chance to maybe win the whole thing the way they've been playing?
They would probably be the second team that I would choose besides Nevada. I mean, if we're not talking serious dark horses like Wyoming, I think you'd probably go Nevada because they're the favorite. They've been dominant in conference play. And then San Diego State has all the talent in the world, and they're finally putting it together. So I think San Diego State has a very legitimate chance of punching the auto bid to send them to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, because they beat Nevada the other day. I know end of the season game, it didn't matter too much for Nevada seeding. Nevada's basically still going to make the NCAA tournament, I think, regardless of the result. I guess just not losing to Air Force, UNLV, and standing, I would hope to say. But then you got Boise State. They're probably, like, Utah State's weird because they can play really good with McEwen and maybe Sam Merrill do something special. But I think Hutchinson, he was player of the year for a reason. He's that much better than anybody Utah State has. Well, McEwen's pretty good, obviously. He could put up maybe 30 points. But Utah State's so inconsistent. Boise's going to win for me, if safe to say. Same for you, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about Boise State against either Utah State or Colorado State.
What about New Mexico? They're the 3 seed. They were the surprise team by miles because that's the team we mentioned was probably picked near the bottom. I think we picked them 8th or 9th preseason near the bottom just because, not necessarily because of the team itself, but new coach, transfers in, transfers out. They had issues during the year with the Sam Longwood thing, which was weird with the media relations guy having somebody else not allowed to answer a question about Sam Longwood being back in the lineup. A lot of weird stuff going on in Lobos basketball. They finished strong. They end up getting a 3 seed. They have won, like I said, Utah State, Wyoming, on the road, UNLV, CSU, Fresno, in pretty convincingly fashion. Like, every game was, UNLV one-pointer, the 223-point or 233-point performance combined versus Wyoming. That was ridiculous. And, like, if I'm going to pick a non-favorite, I know a 3 seed New Mexico seems weird, but I would put them as a potential team to win this whole thing as a non-favorite, even though, because here's the thing, they're 17-14. They happen to peak at the right time, which is a big deal because before that winning streak, they lost 3 of 4. They weren't playing all that great. The non-conference was terrible, losing at UTEP, which is ridiculously bad, should never happen. They get blown up by Arizona. They can't beat New Mexico State. I think there could be something to said for them moving on for a couple games. Maybe at least beat Boise in title, or beat Boise and meet Nevada in the title game.
I really like what New Mexico's been, how they've been playing these last few weeks or so, because there was a point in the season where they tried to slow things down. Like, if you look at if you're a Ken Pom subscriber and you can take a look at their team page, around December, January, they really started to slow things down, running games about 60 to 70 possessions, and they've decided to ramp things up. Against Air Force, they had 80. Wyoming, they had 96 possessions. UNLV, 76. Colorado State, 83. So they've been ramping things up defensively. They've been putting a lot more pressure on guards to hopefully make mistakes. And offensively, they've been able to knock down shots. And we mentioned Anthony Mathis, who's probably the best overall shooter in this conference. Oh, yeah. He's just been electric from behind the three-point line. Antonio Jackson, the Akron transfer, he's been really good. Joe Furstinger has stepped up. So New Mexico, against all odds, I mean, we thought this team was going to be terrible this year, and so did many other people. Paul Weir proved us wrong. They're the three seed in the Mountain West Tournament, and they have a legitimate chance to get to the finals. But the team that they could match up with, as I mentioned, is Wyoming. And I think that these – there's going to be a ton of points. Both of these teams love to push it. They shoot a lot of threes. They have some nice scores. Hayden Dalton and Justin James is one of the best 1-2 combinations that you can find. I think that Wyoming finds a way to get this thing done, and I know that Wyoming dropped that game to New Mexico the last time out, and as well as earlier in the year, but both games were close. That New Mexico game back in February was kind of an anomaly to a certain sense, because the teams combined to shoot 81 free throws. That just doesn't happen very often. I like the way Wyoming matches up with the other teams in this conference, and that's what I said in October, that I think you have to look out for the Cowboys as maybe as a 5 or 6 seed that can make a run and win the whole thing. So you can coin flip Wyoming-New Mexico game. It's really up to you. I just think that's going to be an exciting game. Winner's probably going to score at least 90, and whoever it is that wins, they have an excellent chance to beat Boise State in the semifinals.
So New Mexico's given 57% chance to make the semifinals. That is actually, if you look at it overall, that's the fourth best chance. Because you have Nevada at 68, Boise 81, I guess that home court thing, Rebels. Then you have San Diego State 50. So they're basically, yeah, they're 3 seed, which makes sense, but they're right there as the third best chances to make it to the semifinals. And 20%.
Yeah, I think you have to buy into that, yeah.
And 20%. It's weird because they're third seed, but they're predicted 3, 4, 5, 6 team overall for this is teamrankings.com, I should say. 5.6% chance to win the whole thing, which is behind Fresno, UNLV, Aztecs, Broncos, and the Wolfpack of Nevada. But it's weird, but they have the much higher chance of making it to the title game more than Fresno or UNLV. But to win it all, it drops down, but it's just kind of odd. But
yeah, I don't understand that necessarily. I think that team rankings places a lot of weight on preseason, what the teams are expected to do in the preseason, because I think the top half of the bracket with Nevada, Fresno, and San Diego State is much stronger than the bottom half of the bracket. But even in the bottom half, you have New Mexico, Wyoming, and Boise State, and all those teams are capable of getting to the championship game.
So let's, because we're not gonna make this podcast very long, because we've talked a ton. We'll be out of here maybe a half hour mark. What would be, first off, what's your is your likely championship game Boise, Nevada?
I think Boise State, Nevada has to be the likely championship game. I think Boise State matches up okay with New Mexico. Boise State's got to start knocking down shots, though. They've kind of gotten cold. Second half 3-point shooting has been a bit of a concern, but I think Nevada, Boise State, I know it's a 1-2 matchup, but that has to be the most likely matchup right now.
So who's your champion then?
It would be Nevada, but if we want to start talking about maybe stupid upsets or crazy
we'll
picks,
get there. We're getting there.
Okay, so you don't want me to get there quite yet.
Not yet. So is your favorite, okay, picking Nevada to win the whole thing?
Yeah, I think I'm still sticking with Nevada. What? Go ahead.
What does KenPom have for the percentage of them winning?
Nevada is a 37.8% chance of winning the championship, with Boise State at 25.6 and SDSU at 11.9.
Okay. Over at team rankings, since I have that, 31 for Nevada, 26.7 for Boise. I still think Nevada is the favorite, and that's what I'm going with. They've been playing, yeah, they lost to San Diego State, but like I said, nothing to play for too much. I guess we're going to be boring and both say Nevada's going to win and take the. If Nevada wins, they're the only team for the Mountain West getting a tournament, because there's no way Boise gets that large bid.
Yep. That would be the only scenario. So you have to, if you want to see the Mountain West punch multiple bids in the NCAA tournament, you have to be an anti-Nevada fan, because that's the only hope right now.
If Nevada, I know I mentioned before, but Nevada has like a top 10 RPI, or they may have dropped since losing to Aztecs, but if they lose quarterfinal game, are they still getting in?
Yeah, they're in good shape right now. I think if you lose to UNLV on UNLV's floor in the Mountain West tournament, I think you're still in okay shape. But
what about Air Force? Is that a different story?
That one hurts, yeah, because I think you probably know this better than I do. But UNLV and Air Force's RPIs, I think that UNLV has a fairly significant edge, at least how RPI is concerned. But I mean, Nevada has enough quality victories that they're in decent shape, and RPI is good. Strength of schedule has been good. They're not going to get a top six seed, as some people have said. I have them leaning right around an 8, 9, 10, and especially if they lost in the quarterfinals, they would probably be a 9 or a 10.
Yeah, real quick, Air Force RPI 252.
Okay. Yeah.
Whereas Nevada, I think they're a lot. What's it say? 11? No, 14. After they actually moved up today, or since whatever they don't have live, but top 15 RPI. So, who's your like? If we're going stupid upset pick, like not to say Boise is going to win because Nevada loses and Boise gets the other bid. Who is your? I guess I'll go first. If I'm going to pick a team. So let me ask you this first, Eli. Does New Mexico fit into a stupid upset pick or not, since they're a three seed?
Maybe partially, because it sure isn't a team that many projected to be in this position heading into the season. But I think even as a three seed, the odds are stacked against New Mexico, because the common fan can't name a player on this New Mexico roster. They don't have the star necessarily. First-year head coach, I think if New Mexico were to make a run to the championship game and win the championship game, that would be a pretty significant upset.
All right, so I'm going to go with here's my two teams. Here's my stupid upset title game, San Diego State versus Wyoming.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was.
Oh, man, too. We're boring.
Yeah, I know. I know. But it makes sense, though, because San Diego State, they already have the win against Nevada. They've showed some lumps against Fresno State, but the way the two teams are headed in different directions, I think they can win that one. And Wyoming, they just have the right roster constructed. The huge concern is how they perform away from Laramie, though, and we've highlighted that countless times. Winning in Vegas is definitely different than winning at elevation in Laramie, so that's something to keep an eye out on.
Could they arguably have the best duo, scoring duo possibly, with what just James and those guys do?
Yeah, definitely.
They can put up 60 points between the two of them and beat anybody.
Yeah, they certainly can. They have enough offensive firepower to do that, and especially if they're heating up from deep, then things could get interesting real quick.
Just real quick, they've lost to New Mexico twice. That's an issue, home and road. Obviously, that huge game last week. They only played Nevada. They beat Nevada once, right? They beat them at home?
Yes, they did.
Where's my schedule? Not sure that. They lost on the road. That's what it is. They split, so. With those two there, but I guess if I'm picking one of those, I'm going to Wyoming to do it all.
Yeah, I think you have to go with Wyoming. As a number six seed, the odds are certainly stacked against them. They have to win four games in 4 days, but Wyoming they have the guys that are able to do this. So you have to hope that Hunter Maldonado is healthy enough. He's missed the last few games, and he's been a significant contributor as a freshman. But if he's healthy, you have Lou Adams, who's the sixth man as voted by the media, sixth man of the year, and Wyoming is a good enough team to pull it off.
So we're being boring and picking both the same teams for this thing.
Yeah, I know. I have to probably lean that way. I don't know why. Either Wyoming or San Diego State, both are outside of the top four. I think that's a reasonable stupid upset pick.
All right, I'll do Wyoming. You do Wyoming. That's fine. We both pick Nevada. There's not much more to get to. We'll have a lot more stuff later this week because we got other things to get popping on, working on, I guess. But yeah, we'll have more stuff this week. We don't need to do everything at this moment, so this one is a sufficient time frame. If you like the Mount West Player of the Year awards, or don't like ours, check ours out, because we were fairly close to what the media had. So people yelling at us on Twitter, be quiet please. We know what's going on here. So if you don't like, I guess it was were people really that upset? Really quick, we'll finish here. The Caleb Martin thing, was that, or Cody Martin, was that the big deal? Or it's Caroline thing. Was that the people upset about Justin James and Quick Caroline that they were like up
yeah,
in arms about?
Yeah, that Justin James was on the first team instead of Jordan Caroline. One vote separated those two. Caroline was on our second team and Justin James was on our first team. Both have enjoyed excellent conference seasons. You could go with either of them. So, I mean, I think we're splitting hairs. Caroline's an excellent player, so is Justin James, but we went with James. And then player of the year, that one is so close because Hutchison and Caleb Martin have just gone back and forth. I know that Martin was fantastic in the two wins over Boise State this year. But Hodgson's had a really good year too, and he entered as the preseason player of the year, which puts him in the spotlight. He's had just every media outlet has poured in and showed excellent support for Hodgson throughout the year. So we gave the nod to Hodgson. Again, that's just by one vote. So these were extremely close votes. I think the only unanimous votes were Caleb Martin for Newcomer of the Year and Freshman of the Year. Brandon McCoy was a pretty solid margin over Jalen McDaniels.
Yeah, I was going to say not unanimous. And we had the same as the media guide stuff, media people for Player of the Year. Coach of the Year, we got Coach of the Year. I don't know why Jeff Grammer said they couldn't do that. Ours just tied, so we went with it. But Paul Weir and Musselman, I get why Musselman got it from the other guys because how dominant he was all year. But if you, like my thing a little bit, I think I mentioned football once or twice. Against expectations, Weir probably should have been a front runner and won the whole thing. But for what Musselman did, getting his team ranked, beating Rhode Island, playing very well throughout the whole year, getting that number one seed back-to-back titles, that's fine. They're both fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. You could choose whoever you wanted for Coach of the Year and Player of the Year, and you'd have a reasonable argument.
All right, folks, that does it for us tonight. Check us out on MWR.com, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio. Wherever you find our fine podcasts are sold, you can download us there. And we'll have a lot more this week, maybe video stuff, because we'll both be in Las Vegas. So check us out on Twitter for all that fun stuff. And next time, sooner than later, right, Eli? Sooner than
That's
later.
Right.
All right, folks, see ya.